It is 12:02. It's Friday, and I'm Eric Scott. Hello there. Jeb Bradley, our usual interview in the spot, is off today, and capably filling for them will be, actually, we're going to do something a little different today. Kathy Sessler is with us, a community liaison, and Jennifer Gullison, she's the VP of Operations for Cornerstone VNA, one of the large VNAs in the area. We'll be talking about flu shots. We'll be talking about other shots as well, of course, including COVID-19 and what Cornerstone does and what some of the things that they're doing, including what I found is very interesting with the veteran cafes. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Anyway, thank you, ladies, for making the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, no problem. Just before we went on the air, I got my annual flu shot. I appreciate that. And you said you've been doing this for 47 years.
I have. You made me think back on the fact when I gave you your flu shot that I literally started the flu clinics back in the day at we used to be called the Rochester VNA. I'm talking about back in the 90s. And it was so much fun to do the flu shots at that time. We would have a flu shot clinic at 10 o'clock in the morning, and there'd be 100 people standing waiting to get their flu shots.
Cool.
Yeah. And you seem to tolerate that quite well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get one every year. It's nice. Never bothered me.
Nice.
Thankfully, yeah. Even the COVID-19 booster didn't really bother me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now I have an excuse to procrastinate. I can wait about a week or so before I get it.
Right. I just don't want your arm. Have two sore arms, because that is one of the side effects for sure, is you get a little sore arm.
Oh, that's okay.
Right.
I can live with it. Tell me something about Cornerstone VNA. First of all, what does a community liaison do?
Oh, so a community liaison. So I'm like a mediator, sort of for the hospitals and the rehabs, the skilled rehabs and the doctor's offices. I'm also very involved in the community. It is like a face position, sort of. It's a clinical position and a face position for Cornerstone. I'm involved in Rotary and the chambers, but my clinical piece is that I go to the hospitals and the rehabs, and I meet with case managers, and I work through the transition of care to back to home to make sure that there's a safe transition and everything's in place, and I visit the patients, make them feel comfortable about Cornerstone VNA. The visiting nurses is going to come out, and I explain the different services that they're going to receive once they get home.
Okay. Somebody who's been doing this as long as you have, I think, has the wonderful ability to kind of look back and go, oh, there have been quite a lot of changes here and there. One thing, of course, is, without getting into commentary about how our healthcare system is and how it's structured, things can sometimes be a little bureaucratic. Is that a fairly recent development, or has it always been that way?
No, I think it's full circle. And I'm only going to say that on a personal note, because my mother was a nurse, and
mine too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And she used to tell me stories. And as a young nurse, I would be like, oh, what are you talking about? And now I think about it, and it's just things come full circle. Like, there's always new innovations, healthcare, strives for research all the time. And there's all new stuff. So things change. Change is a big word in healthcare. Let me just say that. But it's been a word that's been around for a long time.
Yeah. And I'd also add that, with us being around since 1913, change is inevitable. And if you're not at the forefront of change, then you kind of get left behind. So for us to be independent and still a nonprofit, that goes to show that we are keeping abreast of issues and that we are very innovative. And I think with our technologies and our specialty programs, a lot of certified clinicians, we're able to meet those challenges.
I've talked to a lot of people and gotten a lot of different opinions. Jennifer Gullison, the VP of Operations, are things easier now with technology than they were back in the day?
I would say absolutely. So you have to be one to embrace technology, which I am one of those champions, and we have a telehealth program that literally is a tablet that goes into the home, and you're able to check your blood pressure, weigh yourself, and answers survey questions on a daily basis. All that gets transmitted to a nurse at our office who reads all that stuff. And then she can do a video with the patient, and she sees the patient sees her. So we're actually able to do virtual visits, and that's now at an all-time high where we have a nursing shortage. There's less nurses. With healthcare changing and mergers happening and COVID, we have less and less to work with. So to have the ability to supplement that with virtual visits and be able to touch more lives, more patients, is huge. And we can do virtual meetings with physicians, and patients can with physicians. So with COVID, the one good thing that's come out of it, if anything has, it's been technology, is it's forced all of us to have to embrace technology and to utilize it and see the benefits of it.
Right. And how many years before COVID did we have, we had telehealth for a long time. Like telehealth is popular now. I think everybody in the general public has heard about telehealth.
Yeah, I've used it. It's very convenient.
But
yeah.
We had it.
I've been with Cornerstone for 20 years, and we've had it, I want to say 10 years prior to that.
That's
so a solid 30 years.
And it's been that long.
It's been that long. And to see how much technology has changed, it used to be these massive units that would go into the home, and now you can bring it in like an iPad. That's the size of it. Mm. It's pretty impressive.
So we were pretty experienced in that realm when this whole COVID pandemic started, that we already had that in place.
Yeah,
it sounds, it's almost like, well, let me put it this way, Jennifer. Are you guys prepared for something like this? If there was another one to come down the pike, COVID-20,
mm-hmm.
You guys
right? Come to that, but yes.
Yeah, believe me. But I mean, something like that happens. You guys ready?
Yeah, it literally was a seamless transition compared to what we've heard with other health sectors or VNAs out there. We had the telehealth. We doubled its size. So that we could touch more lives. We have the ability to be mobile with the documentation that we have that all clinicians use on tablets, to phone, you know, reaching out to patients by phone and doing Zoom meetings with physicians and Zoom meetings with our clinicians to be able to have and keep the business running. A lot of us were able to do hybrid models because kids were out from school, and a lot of us are working moms that have to balance that. So it was a very seamless transition for us.
Okay. Kathy, what kind of person needs the VNA? I mean, a lot of people have heard of their local VNA, but it doesn't necessarily register.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it that the VNA can do?
So if I receive phone calls every day. People have a loved one. I'm gonna start with maybe the elderly to begin with,
okay.
And then I'll go down to like maybe like surgical, because it goes from one end to the other. But the elderly, you have a mother that's, you know, gone into the hospital and she lives alone, and the daughter calls and she's concerned about the mother living alone, but she doesn't want to. She's not at a point yet that she needs to go live in assisted living, or she can't afford to go to assisted living. So she's calling to me to ask me, what do we do now? So I go through the steps as far as saying that we can go in and we can manage her, like whatever kind of illnesses she's got going on. She's got any chronic illnesses. We have a palliative program that goes out. A nurse practitioner will go out into the homes and manage their chronic illness, like say their heart disease, their congestive obstructive pulmonary disease, that's COPD you hear of. And we're going to help manage them right in the home. And we're going to work with their doctors. The nurse practitioner can go in once a month and monitor them, talk to the doctor so the patient doesn't have to go out. You know, we tried to just make the daughter feel comfortable that we're going to be able to manage her at home. I think I kind of got off on the palliative part, but we can do manage chronic illnesses at home. We can do physical therapy if you go out in the hospital for a knee or a hip or a gallbladder removal, cardiac surgery. We have certified clinicians as far as having taking care of patients that have open heart surgeries. People can go home on IV infusions that we can monitor at home.
And I'll just add, it's typically to teach, like if anyone has a procedure, an ostomy, any type of catheter, wound care, we go out and we teach the patient and family how to manage that. We don't stay in forever because insurance doesn't pay for that, but we're teaching somebody how to manage something on a short-term, intermittent basis. And then to manage their chronic disease, if they've been in a hospital or a skilled nursing facility and they come home, we're in there anywhere from 30 to 60 days to teach you what you need to do so that you can safely stay home.
In
and
teaching,
it's all ages, too.
Right.
So it's
teaching,
birth to death.
Teaching is the huge thing as far as home care goes. As far as to be a nurse in home care, that's the probably the favorite thing nurses like to do because you get time. It's one-on-one, and you get to teach the patient and the family members to keep people at home. You know, you want to stay safely in your home. And like Jen just said, we do birth to end of life. We have mother-baby program. We have PD nurses, and we have a hospice program. So we do birth to end of life.
Tell me about the newborn program. You just mentioned.
So the newborn program, we have a nurse that goes to the hospitals that will meet the mother and the baby at the hospital, and then go home for a one visit. I think it's a one visit.
Yeah,
the
it's called a well baby visit.
A well baby visit. Where I have personally talked to mothers that have the nurse that goes out and they rave about that service because you're a new mom, you're home, and you know you're out of the hospital. They threw all kinds of information to you, which is wonderful. Those programs are wonderful, but then you're home with this baby, and then you get a knock on the door, and you get a visiting nurse that's going to sit on your couch with you and go over bathing and go over things, you know, and it's a great program.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds fantastic, and that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes.
I love babies.
Fun to do co-visits.
Yeah.
On that subject, Jennifer, has getting insurance reimbursement become a problem or become more of a problem as time goes by?
I would say no. So, our biggest population are adults, and of those adults are typically they're over the age of 65, but home care is not just for the elderly. Like I said, it's all ages.
Right.
But, you know, Medicare pays 100% as long as you meet the criteria. Insurance, typically you have your deductibles or your co-pays, and then they pay, the 100%. So it really, it's not an issue. And I would say we're probably one of the few home care agencies that take so many insurances. Some are very restrictive as far as because some plans are more difficult to deal with for commercial insurances, but we take all payers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So no matter who your network is,
mm-hmm.
you're in network.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was wondering about that because on the form for the flu shot, it had a couple of insurance companies, but mine wasn't on there. And I'm like, I wonder if they take it.
Yeah.
I guess you do.
So the flu shot is very specific as far as what insurance will cover for that specific thing, but completely different than home care coverage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's try that another way. So the goal is to manage the patient, keep them out of the hospital,
mm-hmm.
Or prevent them from going back into the hospital, and then having the family and their support network eventually meet some of those needs.
Right.
Absolutely.
We do a lot of med management. You know, medication, mm-hmm. Actually the mistaking of meds is like the number one reason people go into the hospital nationally. I think it's still that.
Yep.
And we do a lot of med teaching, you know, make sure you're taking your meds right. And people have a hard time with that. They have a hard time with, you know, they have one list of meds from the doctor's office, but then all of a sudden, oops, they have a hospitalization stay. And they go to the hospital, they meet another hospitalist who changes their meds. Then they go home and they were taking all these meds for 10 years and all of a sudden they have a new list. So that's our number one thing to go in that first day is to make sure that everybody has their right prescriptions, their right meds, they're on the right track. That's a lot an important role is the nurse in the home as far as to keep the people home.
Now, does a nurse need to have a minimum qualification? I know there are different levels of nursing. My mother was an RN. My daughter is currently studying to be an RN.
Make sure you have her apply to Cornerstone.
Believe me, she gets recruited everywhere she goes.
I bet.
Because she's been in LNA since high school.
Nice. So,
but how many nurses are out on the street for Cornerstone?
We have over 30 nurses, and it ranges from, you know, RNs that have a four-year degree to RNs that have a two-year degree to licensed practical nurses, our LPNs. We have all three of those levels of nursing at Cornerstone.
Okay. So I didn't know if there was like a minimum, but so everyone's at least a an LPN.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
And we're actually known for nurses. They're all certified. Like, we have a lot of certifications. Nurses, they come into home care, and like I said before, that's a lot about teaching. Well, they want to learn more about different specialty, whether it's an IV specialty nurse or an ostomy, a wound nurse. Those are very important because we see a lot of patients with wounds, a lot of patients with ostomies. You know, you hear people that have colostomies or ileostomies, and so we have a lot of nurses that are certified in specialties. We have a lot of specialties.
Right. Now, either of you nurses?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm a nurse by background.
Yeah. Both of you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like this end of it more, or the old style, you know, when you have people in the hospital and what they call that.
Yeah, like med-surg nurses.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
So I think it depends on everybody. So I literally came into home care as a new grad, graduated from UNH, and then within 2 months I was in home care. So I kind of bypassed your typical do med-surg for a year or two and then come into home care as a specialty. I liked the concept of being able to treat somebody one-on-one in their home. It just made sense. And you either love it or you hate it. Some people don't like going into different environments. Right. I find it a challenge. And so I did field nursing and now am doing more of the administration. So I think what's great about Cornerstone is there's a lot of room for growth and finding your niche, whether it's you stay in the field and what we call being a generalist, where you just kind of see all the different diagnoses that come in the home, which ranges and varies, or you want to do more of a specialty and get into the wounds, ostomy, IV, or behavioral health, or you want to do more of like, I want to do office administrative nursing. And that's what I've been at Cornerstone for 20 years. Kathy's been with Cornerstone for a really long time. We have a lot of longevity because, you know, we invest a lot into our staff and growth.
And I was a hospital nurse for 20 years.
Okay.
So for that question, and I've kind of done jack of all trades as far as that goes, because I was a hospital nurse for 20 years. And then I went into home care, and then I actually did a little stint in some rehabs. So I've kind of done, actually, and I worked in a doctor's office for a little bit. So I've kind of done it all.
Yeah.
But home care, like Jen said, it's the very gratifying as far as nursing goes, personally gratifying, because you go into their houses, they look forward to you, you know, you get to know them so well and they look forward for your visit, and you're teaching them. You're one-on-one. You're not in a hospital with all kinds of things going on in a rehab, all kinds of things going on. You're pulled in each direction. You've got, you know, six patients waiting for you. It's really about teaching the patient and the families about their medical condition, and very gratifying as far as a nursing career goes.
I can tell just by looking at you that you really love what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is 12:21, and you're listening to AM 1420 and FM 97.1 WASR. I'm Eric Scott. Kathy Sessler is with us, the community liaison, and Jennifer Gullison is with us, the vice president of operations for Cornerstone VNA. They have more than 170 people involved in this effort, which is quite a few people. Let's talk a little bit about the flu shot that I had right before we went on the air. And thank you for that, by the way. I hate needles, but I was brave, even though I didn't get a lollipop. Somebody owes me a lollipop.
We should have brought that.
I know it.
But the now it's and we were talking about this, you know, on air, and I understand that. You're not doctors, but we get a flu shot every year. So do you think that we may end up needing a COVID vaccine every year?
I anticipate that it's going to be very similar to the flu because, you know, new variants happen. Viruses are very smart. Just like now, we didn't think we were going to need a booster, but now there are boosters out there for the different COVID vaccines. I highly anticipate that we'll need something annually.
But some vaccines don't need boosters, like polio or smallpox. Is there a way for you to explain in English why that is?
Well, in very plain language, those viruses have not mutated or adapted the way that, for example, the flu virus has. Different strains keep coming out. It keeps getting stronger and smarter, whereas the polio and the measles have been stable.
Oh, okay. That's English. That's great. What is it that... Let's try that again. I'm having one of those days. The area you cover is quite a bit besides Carroll County. Where do you guys cover?
Yeah, so we do both Maine and New Hampshire, and there's 43 different towns with five different counties that we serve. So we do Stratford, Rockingham, Belknap, Carroll, and York counties in Maine. So we have more than doubled in the past 10 years as far as size. So like I said, I've been with Cornerstone for 20 years, and that's a lot of different towns. We go as far up north as Ossipee, Effingham, Wakefield, over to Wolfboro, down to Seabrook and the Hamptons, and over in York, Kittery, and the Berwicks in Maine. So
wow.
Large area.
That is quite a bit.
Yeah.
Why is it important that the VNA grow?
I think it's because New Hampshire specifically, I think, is the second oldest state in the U.S. And so we have a very large elderly population. And so with that aging population, healthcare is moving into the homes. And people want to stay out of the hospital. Lengths of stay in hospitals, it used to be where you were in there for, you know, 1 to 2 weeks, and now you're in there for 2, maybe 3 days.
Right.
Skilled nursing facilities, a lot of patients are bypassing those because, you know, you're in there and you're in there with a lot of people, and people heal better and recover better at home. You want to be in your own bed with your own family. And so that's what home care is able to give people. They can go home with even more complexity medically than they ever have been able to. Like Kathy said earlier, we're doing IVs. We're doing complicated wound procedures, very complicated experimental procedures in the home. And we're able to do that because our clinicians are highly skilled and trained and are able to teach patients and their family those skills to be able to manage it at home.
How much continuing education does it take to be a home care nurse?
It's not necessarily the continuing education. You have to have a degree in nursing or therapy. And then the goal is that you've had some acute care experience. But again, that's not always mandatory either. Like I said, I was basically a new grad. We can teach anybody skills. You just have to have the right personality to like going in and out of homes and to be able to deal with, you know, meeting patients on their own turf and adjusting your personality and having the flexibility to change from home to home. And like I said, you either love it or you don't love it.
Right. We have an extensive orientation program. We have preceptors, we have nurses that take someone, like a buddy system program, where they take someone under their belt and they go out with them in the homes for quite a long time, a couple months.
Yeah, it's a solid 3 months.
3 months.
For training.
So there's a lot of training, because if you have someone that, like Jen said, used to be that we like to have acute care experience, but that's no longer, you know, so we're on the job training now. So we do a lot of, we have a very extensive orientation program to meet. We want people to be comfortable. And Jen, you know, she's right as far as saying that either you hate it or you don't. Even over the years, when friends of mine have seen that I'm happy, you know, will talk to me like they might work at a hospital and say, geez, you know, how you liking it? But home care is a whole different story. You know, I can remember going from hospital to home care, and, you know, there's no more sterile environment. You know, you're going into a home and it's clean environment. You know, there's a big changeover. But we do a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of extensive training.
What made you move over from hospital care to home care?
Really? So the CEO of the VNA at the time used to work with me. I worked at Wentworth Douglas Hospital in Dover.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked at Wentworth Douglas. In fact, she worked for my mother. My mother was the staff development coordinator, and she worked with her. And she went and took over the VNA. She was the CEO, and she called me at work one day and said, "You need to come work for me." And I said, "I'm not leaving here. I'm going to stay right here. I've been here." I had been there at the time for, I don't know, 15 years. And anyways, she told me to come see her, and she wanted to hire me as an intake nurse, and she talked me into it. And then I loved it. It was one of my better decisions in life.
How has the current nursing shortage affected Cornerstone?
So I consider us lucky. Typically, nurses leave us because they're moving or retiring. And so with that being said, we have that longevity, but you know, things happen, and especially during COVID, I find that that was the most challenging for us because clinicians actually were doing almost like, do I still want to even be in nursing anymore? So you can't compete against that. So we actually literally had a couple of clinicians completely get out of the field of medicine because of how drastically healthcare is changing. But I think that we have overall done fairly well with being able to keep our nurses and to keep them challenged, and they like the culture of Cornerstone. I mean, we built an addition during the pandemic, which we just were able to finalize in August of this year because our programs are growing at such a rapid rate.
So the Cornerstone staff went through COVID pandemic and a huge renovation. Just happened to coincide, and they managed.
We never slowed down.
Right, they managed to come out.
That's great.
Yeah, the culture, like Jen just said about Cornerstone, and this is not, I'm a big cheerleader for Cornerstone, and they're a big family. You know, it's a very comfortable environment. Benefits they pay. If you come to work for Cornerstone, you're a single person, they're paying 100% of your healthcare benefits.
I'm in the wrong business.
Not many companies do that anymore, and every year they pull it off. They're just a wonderful company to work for.
That's fantastic. What is it that keeps it going? There are what, 170 employees?
Mm-hmm.
How do you... Does business just kind of come to you, or do you have a staff that has to go out and convince people to use Cornerstone VNA versus one of the other VNAs?
That's when you ask me about what a liaison does. That's basically my job.
Okay.
And there's, I cover the North area. There's another nurse, she's an occupational therapist, Jen Manning, who she's a liaison. She covers the South end. We have hospice liaisons. And we're out in the community. We're out in the hospitals. I go to hospitals. I go to rehabs. And I talk about our services. And so that's... when I talk about the community, Jen, Julie Reynolds, who's the CEO of Cornerstone, there's a handful, Erica Lee, Ann Vinod, there's a group of us that go to a lot of chamber events, a lot of community events. We have a community piece to, Sandy Powers does
the cafes.
Yeah, the caregiver cafe. But Sandy Powers does all the clinics and all the housing, mm-hmm. Rochester Housing, Dover Housing. As far as for the elderly goes, we're out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider it a lot of it's grassroots. So it's knowing what's going on in the communities, the mm-hmm. events that's going on. And as a nonprofit, we're mission driven, where we give so much back to the community. And we do that in the form of education and being a resource for our communities when they need us. You don't know you need home care until you need home care, or private duty services until you need it. And, you know, Cornerstone is known for its reputation because of all these expert services that we offer, these specialties, because of that family feel that Kathy was talking about. Our employees like to work for Cornerstone. Our biggest referral source is our employees. Of, oh, you know, so-and-so told me that they love working at Cornerstone. I want to apply. And so that's a good feeling.
How do you manage to keep the somewhat cutthroat business end of things separate from what you were just talking about? Obviously, you found a way to build that wall there so the employees don't have to deal with it, which is admirable.
Yep.
But is that it sounds difficult.
It is difficult. So you kind of have to, people think as a nonprofit, oh, you guys, you don't get paid. We get paid.
Right.
And we have to be competitive with our wages and our benefits, but you have to balance clinical with finance. And that balance is a fine line. So our clinicians are trained to know, like, you know, this is what we need to be able to do to be able to open our doors, but our patients come first. And so it's just always constant education and listening and supporting and being able to make changes or modifications if we can for our patients.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more with Kathy Sessler, the community liaison, and Jennifer Gullison, VP of Operations for Cornerstone VNA. And earlier in the show, you said there were five different programs. Home care, hospice care, palliative care, life care, private duty, which fascinates me, and community care. So let's talk about some of those. Home care, it's all home care. How does home care differ from, say, hospice care? Obviously in the outcome, but...
Home care is taking care of the patients when they're in a clinical illness, when they need us, as far as they've gone into they've had a hospitalization, they've had a rehab stay, and like Jen was saying, we're in there for a short-term period. We're hopefully going to take them from being in the hospital to home and help them progress along the way until they get better, until we can discharge them. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole transition. And hospice is a hospice quality of life program as far as end of life.
Okay, that's different from palliative care.
Yep, so the way I describe it is hospice and palliative care have the same philosophy. Same exact, it's identical. Okay. It's all about quality of life and managing symptoms related to a chronic illness.
Okay.
The difference between the two is hospice has a terminal diagnosis of 6 months or less, whereas palliative does not have that.
Okay.
So an example would be our nurse practitioner goes into the home to take care of somebody who has a diagnosis of cancer. That cancer is being treated with chemotherapy, a curative treatment. So they don't qualify for hospice because they're still seeking curative treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as they stop that curative treatment, they would move from our palliative program over to hospice because now they have that 6 months or less and are no longer seeking curative treatment.
Okay, that makes sense. Private duty nursing. This is life care, private duty. What does that involve?
So that is a different arm of our company, and that is a private pay situation where home care and hospice care and palliative care is covered by Medicare and different insurances. Private duty care, which is growing unbelievably right now, that is private pay. Okay, so, and we have a sliding scale at some point for some patients, but that is if someone needs help in the morning to get out of bed and get their day going and get their breakfast, and they need assistance with their bathing. So we're going to have we call them a PCSP, a personal service provider, who we train. We have those trainings. Go in and go into the house and literally help someone get up in the morning, bathe them, help them shower, help them prepare meals, maybe do a little light housekeeping, maybe go grocery shopping for them, pick up some medications for them. It's just an in-home provider service.
Yeah, it's more, think of it as home care and hospice are skilled care that insurance covers, whereas life care is not skilled and it's self-pay. And typically it's block time. So you're paying for somebody because I call it the sandwich population. The children work and now they have to take care of mom or dad. And so while they're at work, they need someone to stay with mom or dad. So you could use our life care program to stay with them for 4 hours, 8 hours, to know they're safe and their needs are met while you're able to work.
Okay.
and know that they're home.
Has the recent deluge of gig workers like Care.com and other things like that, has that affected your operations any?
No, if anything. So we actually, I think private duty organizations, there's many of them out there, with examples you just gave, we're all working together. LNAs, which are licensed nursing assistants, also called CNAs, certified nursing assistants, and these PCSPs, they're all in-home support providers, and there's a shortage of them nationally. So these private duty agencies are having to collaborate with each other to kind of fill blocks for these patients just to meet the 7-day-a-week requirements that patients need.
Okay. And somehow yet you managed to grow despite the shortage of nurses.
And we do that by embracing technology and by staying up to date on everything that's going out there. How can you do more with less is basically how you have to think of it. And so you're supplementing with all these different things of maybe an LNA can go in and do, you know, this portion of the care, and then the nurse goes on these other days, and therapy goes on even the other days. So you're spreading out services. It's just thinking out of the box is what home care is.
Thinking out of the box and thinking about the patient. The bottom line is the patient. You know, we want these people to stay in their home comfortably, and that's really our mission, is to help these people to stay home. And just like Jen said, you know, like in the whole private duty piece, you know, that is just growing so because people are living longer. And they want to stay in their homes, you know. They don't want to go in, you know, there's all these elaborate assisted living places popping up everywhere, but they really don't want to go there. They want to stay in their home.
You know, it's funny. I get a lot of anecdotal stories about those places being full. Skilled nursing facilities, nursing homes, palliative care places that are just jammed to the rafters. I don't know how true it is. I figured you guys would know, but in a way, that works for you, doesn't it? Because the idea is to keep people from going into the hospital.
Yeah, it does work for us. And I think that's what's great about Cornerstone is we have a full service. Our service lines meet all ages, all different aspects or parts of your life so that you can go from one program to another program. I mean, think of, we have those patients under home care that are short term, but a disease like the COPD that Kathy was talking about, or heart failure or cancer diagnosis, those don't go away. You live with them forever. So they might discharge from home care under the skilled benefit, and then they utilize our private duty life care program. Or we refer them over to our palliative care program, and our nurse practitioner will take over and see them once a month. And then so they can come on and off our services with all in and out of all of our different service lines.
Okay. What's it like to work for Cornerstone? I mean, I know there are a lot of different jobs.
Yep.
But what is it? I mean, my daughter-in-law works for Cornerstone and is very happy there.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't go to the office every day. She's partly remote and lives quite a bit away from where she works, as I do. And I said, why do you make that drive? And she said, because I like working there.
Yeah. And I think that's what it is. It's that family feel. I mean, I said that, you know, within 10 years, we've doubled in size. We have. I've been at Cornerstone for 20 years. What keeps me there is it's still, you know, I call it the open door policy. You can go into anyone's room and be like, okay, I'm having a bad day. Or, you know, there's this patient, I just don't know how to help them. You know, this is what I was thinking. What do you think? It's just that constant brainstorming, the support, the education, that we have a very strong team and we all work so well together. And I like to work with people that I like. And we all have that same feeling. It's a very positive, healthy working environment.
A lot of teamwork. You know, like you talk about your daughter-in-law?
Daughter-in-law, yes.
Like I work with her, I call her weekly on a troublesome patient. You know, if I'm seeing someone in the hospital and I need her advice, or I call Jen, you know, I can pick up that phone up. I'm out in the field, so I need an answer, and I can feel comfortable in calling people and talking to them and troubleshooting something. And I think that's what it is about Cornerstone, is that it's not a institution or a big company that you're not going to find that compatibility.
Right. Now, you had mentioned a little bit earlier that you had a sliding scale for the for private pay. Is that a growing part of the business?
So it all depends. So for example, you know, our homemaking, we get grants.
Okay.
And then that helps towards the cost of that self-pay program. Whereas somebody who needs personal care, that is all out of pocket. So it depends on what service you're needing, and depending if we have grants to help offset that cost for someone.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that to the extent of that, because I don't want people to think that, oh, you know, let's go Cornerstone for a sliding scale. We do have grants, and I think back in the day, I think I might have just aged myself as far as even mentioning the sliding scale, that we had more state-funded monies back in the day, and we don't have that anymore.
Right, okay. It is 12:43. I'm Eric Scott. Kathy Sessler is my guest, community liaison, and Jennifer Gullison, Vice President of Operations for Cornerstone VNA. They've been around since 1913, and it's quite a long time. We had to get to this point where, how has COVID affected your operations? You've been living with it now for going on 2 years. What are the things that you've learned?
I would probably say how to be able to adapt quickly, and we've embraced technology for that, but also just the importance of infection control. So prior to COVID, we would have no problems going into stores, and if we had a cold, we'd have no problems going to work, and we wouldn't wear a mask, or, you know, just the importance of hand washing and hygiene etiquette. We all are very cautious about that now. And if we have a runny nose, we're wearing a mask and we're staying out of public situations. I just feel like infection control is more universally accepted now, and it makes us safer. It makes our family safer. It makes our patients safer.
Was it my imagination, or was last year's flu season the quietest one I have ever seen?
Mm-hmm. Which I don't think we even heard of a positive case. It was all COVID.
Right. And do you think that these infection control measures that we're all taking part in was the cause of that?
Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, you saw a lot of things go down that, I mean, even I call it the GI bugs were less.
Oh, yeah. I love those.
Yes.
You're talking, you know, everybody wore a mask. Everybody was so diligent. I mean, I never went, and anyone I know, you know, you never came out of a store without getting in your car and wiping your hands off with the alcohol wipes or the alcohol gel. And people were just diligent, and there was no flu. There was no GI. Mm. GI bugs, like she just mentioned, go through a community. We talk about the rehabs, the skilled nursing facilities, go through those places rampant during the flu seasons. There was none of that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because we had COVID outbreaks all over the place, but for some reason we didn't have the other ones. Maybe, I mean, obviously none of us are virologists, but I wonder what that says about the virus itself.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things where we can't be political, so I have to keep comments to myself, but I think we just have had such a big focus on COVID, the attention, the awareness, the testing of it. It's just consumed our everyday lives.
How much of your education efforts go into persuading the unvaccinated to pull the trigger, as it were?
So it's funny you mention that. So Cornerstone, because we see patients in both Maine and New Hampshire, Maine came out with a mandate a few months ago where if you have a license and practice in the state of Maine, all of your employees, regardless if they see patients in Maine, have to be vaccinated. So we had to mandate the vaccine for all of our employees, both office and field clinicians. So all of our employees are 100% vaccinated right now.
Now, I would assume that because you're healthcare professionals, there was relatively little, if any, pushback.
We did have some pushback, and unfortunately, we did lose a few employees, which was very sad. But I always think, you know, I'm all about choice, and we as humans need to be able to choose. But when you go into healthcare, you have to think about the bigger picture. And right. we're seeing elderly, vulnerable patients in the home of all ages. And I would hate to think about risking, you know, making somebody sick if I was not symptomatic. Right. And so it's just, it makes sense for the business that we do.
Let's talk about some of the community work that you guys do, including the Vet to Vet Cafe. Tell me about that.
We have a Anne Vernard. She is a phenomenal person that runs these cafes, and she has started this Vet to Vet Cafe, where she has veterans who are all pretty much with such a strong bond that right now they're virtual, but they talk. It's like a support group. They end up talking to each other, and they're veterans. They can feel comfortable, and it's grown. It's really grown.
And, yeah, we have another employee, Maureen Steer, and she is a veteran herself, and she runs our hospice volunteer program and really spearheads this vet-to-vet cafe with Anne Vernard. And it's just a wonderful service to be able to offer our vets in our communities.
Hospice volunteers?
Yep. So, you know, hospice is one of the benefits of the hospice program is just an amazing volunteer program. And it ranges from, we have pet companions or a pet, I forget the name of the
actual. Peace of mind.
Yeah, it's called Pet Peace of Mind. And it actually allows volunteers to go in and actually take care of your pets for those that are dying. So whether it's walking your dog or help pay a vet bill, you know, cleaning up after that vet, and I mean the pet in the home. It's just an amazing opportunity if it's just somebody to come and sit with you to provide that respite care. If it's somebody who wants a vet to vet to have that person in the home, it's just all the opportunities are endless.
That's what we talk about. Like you ask about, you know, why, what's the greatest thing working for Cornerstone? Those are the things, the vet to vet cafes, the caregiver cafes, the peace of mind with the animals, and people donate to the programs, especially the peace of mind one with the vets, with the animals, because we can go in and, you know, some people don't have any money. So we're going to pay their vet bill, or we're going to, you know, help them just take care of their animals. Those are the type of things that make Cornerstone unique. And wanting to work there, because these are so different than your everyday work of going into people's houses and taking care of patients. All of a sudden you realize that you work for a company that they're doing vet-to-vet cafes. They're doing caregiver cafes. I've been to a couple of these caregiver cafes.
Tell me about those.
Oh, I can always, I remember one of them that was a big one we had. It might have been the first or the second one at the Governor's Inn. And there was probably 70 people there. And we had a speaker that came, that he had written a book about end of life and his experience with taking care of his parents. And so people came and they told their stories about, you know, their husband having Alzheimer's and how lost they were as far as taking care of him. And all these people are in one room talking to each other, telling their stories, crying, getting good ideas. I remember this one couple had this their father who liked to have his cocktail every night, but he had his dementia was worsening, and he had a whiskey, I think it was, every night. And I said to him, you know, why don't you start diluting it? Why don't you start putting apple juice in it? You know, like 3/4, start working their way down. This young couple's face, and the wife was there too. The wife cried. That's a great idea, you know, and that's what those cafes are about, because they're support groups, and everybody talks to each other and gets great support out of them. It's wonderful.
Now, I assume they're virtual?
Yeah. Now they are, yeah.
But, you know, the goal is that they'll be like a hybrid model so that, you know, people can attend in person to get that relationship building, or the hybrid, because not everybody can afford to have someone come and pay for them to take care of their loved ones so they can go physically be there. So we've actually had really good turnout now that we've had them virtual.
Because not everybody, there's a lot of people that want to be involved in these support groups, but you also have that group of people that don't want to go out of their houses.
Right.
You know, they're homebound. Mm-hmm. They're very comfortable there. So these, all of a sudden, and that's another silver lining kind of from COVID. Now we're doing these virtual. That came about all because of COVID.
I don't even know if this is the right question, but it just popped into my head. You know those TV commercials everyone's been running about the Medicare Advantage programs? How supposedly they have more benefits and whatever. I don't know. I'm not on Medicare. Has that affected the business side of things?
I would say with these new private
Medicare providers?
Yeah, it has. You know, traditional Medicare, I think of it as you have a commercial insurance that's restrictive, and then you have a commercial insurance where you can go to any provider you want. So Medicare, current traditional Medicare, is you can go to anywhere you want, and there's not that restriction there. Whereas the Medicare Advantage, there's some perks to it for medication reimbursement. Some have like gym memberships, eye care, dental. That's great if you're a fairly healthy older person. But if you have a lot of, we call them comorbidities, a lot of diagnoses, and you need more health care, traditional Medicare is the way to go. There's less restrictions put on it.
Okay. You guys also have an educational series that you guys do. Tell me about that.
So we, again, we try to think out of the box and we listen to our community. So we have several different topics where a facility, for an example, an assisted living facility might say, reach out to Cornerstone of, you know, I have LNAs and they need contact hours, or I have some nursing staff that need contact hours. What do you offer that you can help me out with? And we have a variety of different topics from, you know, managing heart failure to managing somebody with diabetes to fall prevention. And we'll be able to go out to that facility, provide professional education with contact hours. But then we also do that educational series to the general lay public and can do it at a community center or a library. And just, you know, what is it like to have COPD and how do you manage it yourself? And we can provide that education.
And there's a program, A Matter of Balance.
That's an exciting program. One of our OTs, Katie Michaud, actually runs that. And it's she went for special training and she then looks for a volunteer to be a coach. And she trains them of how to work with people who are at risk for falling and teaching them ways and exercises so that they can be safer in the community.
Cool. It is 12:55 on WASR. We've got a few minutes left with Kathy Sessler, Community Liaison, and Jennifer Gullison, the Vice President of Operations at Cornerstone VNA. Why Cornerstone as opposed to another VNA that might be overlapping in your territory?
And then I'll say, why not?
Yeah.
I would say it really is because of the longevity of staff that we have. They know what they're doing, and they're very skilled at what they do. It is the expert care that we have from all the different specialties, and they're well-trained, and we have the resource to be able to give them that education through their orientation, through in-home specialty consults, to be able to make those recommendations to our providers. And then it's the wide variety of services that we offer through skilled program short-term or private duty block time care or end-of-life, through all those different continuums of care.
So this giant resource of information.
Giant resource, wonderful benefits. Talked about earlier the team, the open door philosophy there.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch upon before we leave is that if anyone out there is interested in volunteering, we can always use volunteers right across the board as far as home care goes, hospice goes. We're always looking for good volunteers. We have a great program that, you know, people that if they have retired and they're looking for something to do, you know, to go into a person's home, we match you up with a good person, you know, just to sit and listen, to read a book, to play cards, or just even to just go in and have a conversation. So I'd encourage you, if you were actually thinking it later in your life to be a volunteer, to please look us up at Cornerstone VNA.
Okay. While we are on that subject, we have a few minutes left. What are the? I'm sure you have some openings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what are you looking for most urgently?
I would say nursing. But it's,
gee, I wonder if it's nursing.
But it really is anything. I mean, we have openings for physical therapy, LNAs for all of our different programs. And as I said, nursing.
Nursing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing to keep the recruiting funnel filled?
So a lot of it is through social media. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's your typical Indeed. But you can go on Cornerstone VNA's website, and there is an employment section, and all of our job postings are there. That is the easiest way to apply. And again, it can be something where you're coming and you just graduated school. We think out of the box. And so I can hire anybody and train anybody. You just have to have the personality to want to go into homes.
Nursing is a 24/7 business. Is it harder to get nurses to respond after hours?
I feel like at Cornerstone have a really good model. So we actually have, you know, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30 job openings. And then we have nurses that do on call after hours. And so those needs are met. So you're working during day hours. But if you like night hours, we have positions open for that. And then there's typically weekend rotations. So it's very flexible.
Has the shortage pushed up wages?
I can't say it's pushed up wages. We always try to be competitive, but it's increased the need for having to do bonuses or like what you call overtime, because there's just so many patients, and it seems like, you know, patients are getting sicker and sicker and they're in need of services and there's not enough nurses out there to do it.
Last thing before we go, I wanted to cover the Fall Lights of Love celebration. Can you tell me about this? It's cornerstonevna.org/lightsoflove.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the program.
Yeah, so this is the 35th annual. It is named after Jane Cooper Fall, and it's a Lights of Love celebration. We actually just had it and released our recording yesterday, but you can go on and actually purchase a light for a loved one that has passed away in memory of them, to celebrate them. And we have it displayed in front of our agency with all these different lights, and it's a beautiful event, very heartwarming.
Jane Cooper Fall started it 35 years ago, and she did it thinking of people that the donation is $5, and it'll always be $5. And it was for the people that couldn't afford, like some people can afford to do a testimonial, a plaque on a bench someplace. This is she did it for the people that are going to pay $5 for a memorial touching of their loved one. And it used to be held at Frisbee, and now Cornerstone has taken it over. It's a wonderful event.
It sounds like it. It is 1 o'clock. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Ladies, fantastic conversation. Kathy Sessler, Community Liaison, and Jennifer Gullison, VP of Operations for Cornerstone VNA. A lot
you.
Of fun.
Thank you, so
thank you again for the flu shot, too.
Thank you.
It is 1 o'clock.